Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Center. I'm Vishnu Shom. Now, congressmen who are accusing the party of breaching secularism are those who have extracted their own pound of flesh, is what the party's angry Bengal chief Odhiranjan Chaudhary has said in an interview, which you'll see in just a few moments. Now, Mr. Chaudhary offered this unflattering appraisal in response to allegations that the party, by allying with a powerful Muslim cleric in Bengal, has abandoned its long-held commitment to secularism. Now, that charge has been levelled by Anand Sharma, the former union minister, who is a member of what's called the Congress G23 Club, a group of 23 senior leaders who hold the Gandhis, in particular, of being inaccessible and inconsistent in getting a direction going for the party. Next up on the show, two independent firms that monitor the threat posed by international hackers have said in independent reports that India is being severely threatened by state-sponsored Chinese hackers who are looking to make inroads into not just the power sector, but also apparently into the pharma sector, the Serum Institute of India and Bharat Biotech. We'll be joined at about 9:30 by the CEO of one of these firms on this program. But first, let's quickly move on to our top story. The preacher-turned-politician Abbas Siddiqui wanted his Indian secular front to fight the Bengal polls jointly with the left and the Congress. But this Pirzada from the Furfura Sharif, among the holiest pilgrimages in India, has so far only triggered friction.
Priyanka Gandhi in Assam to fight the BJP, instead having to field questions over the Congress war within. Her party leaders are skirmishing over their Bengal ally, the Muslim cleric Abbas Siddiqui, and his Indian secular front. And questions are also being raised on the party's alliance in Assam with Badruddin Ajmal's AIUDF, also accused of communal politics.
Our West Bengal PCC chief has already responded to those comments. There are differences between ideologies. We may not agree 100% with what all our alliance partners believe, but we are together in this fight.
Priyanka was referring to comments by Adhir Ranjan Chaudhary, head of the Bengal Congress, who hit back at Anand Sharma for questioning the alliance with Siddiqui.
Lame questions raised by the leader of the Congress party, Mr. Anand Sharma. It is really deplorable.
Questions remain, though, over what Siddiqui has said. BJP tweeted a video of an undated speech alleging that he had called for independence from the motherland. Independent translators, however, claim Siddiqui can be heard saying he will fight for independence from left or dynastic rule, for which he is willing to spill blood. In another video, reportedly from February last year, Siddiqui has apparently called for a virus to claim crores of Indian lives. Siddiqui's younger brother, Naushad, chairman of IFS, claims it was fake.
ये वीडियो बहुत पुराना हो गया, ये फेक वीडियो था, उसके बारे में हम लोग की तरफ से हम लोगों का स्टेटमेंट दे दिया था उसी वक्त। कौन सी बात लेके सांप्रदायिक कथा बोल रहा है हमको पता नहीं, अगर वो लोग बोल रहे हैं कि ड्रेस कोड दे के बोल रहा है तो उसको पहले बोलना चाहिए, तो संविधान से उठाना चाहिए जी ये ड्रेस पहन के तुम वोट के मैदान में उतरो, नहीं ये ड्रेस पहन के नहीं उतरना चाहिए।
The Congress's internal tussles on communal and secular issues erupted as the UP chief minister launched his campaign in Bengal. Known for his acerbic language, Chief Minister Adityanath hit out at Mamata Banerjee.
Bengal ke andar chal chadm aur dhoke se yahan par lab jihad ki ghatnaon ko bhi anjaam diya ja raha hai.
With Ratnadeep Chaudhary in Guwahati, in Kolkata, Monideepa Banerjee, NDTV.
Mr. Chaudhary joins us now on NDTV. So thanks very much for being with us. Anand Sharma has said that your alliance with the ISF militates against the core ideology of the party. How would you respond?
See, I have already responded in my Twitter immediately after having the question of Anand Sharma through his own Twitter. So you may be, you will be easily able to go through the response that I have given in my own Twitter handle, and you will yourself understand the lame questions raised by the leader of the Congress Party, Mr. Anand Sarma. It is really deplorable that party leader, who is happened to be the deputy leader of Rajya Sabha also, he is very much accessible to me. He is also one of my leaders. If he nurses any kind of grievances or any kind of question against his colleague, that is to me, he may ask the question over a phone call, so that is why my argument is, if he is honest by his own intention, then if he is really so parted over the issue, he would have the easy accessibility to me to ask any question whatsoever.
Right. So I take so the point that you are mentioning.
I could have been also,
you know, he could have picked up the phone and spoke to you, but he chose not to do that. So the point also being made by Anand Sarma is that your alliance with, for example, Badruddin Ajmal in Assam and the IUML in Kerala had been approved by the party. This, on the other hand, has not been approved by the CWC.
See, here the entire spectrum of the alliance is different, is diametrically opposite to the alliance that has been made in Assam and Kerala. The reason being, here the entire alliance politics is being led by the left parties.
Yes.
Congress party is happened to be an integral part of the left alliance. We had forged an alliance with the left parties in the year 2016 assembly election. Again in the 2021, both the left parties and Congress parties have been realized that without having a consolidation of secular forces, we will not be able to confront the juggernaut of BJP party and TMC party. On the one hand, we have to face the atrocities and violence perpetrated by the ruling regime over the years. And on the other hand, BJP has been aggressing in Bengal in a virulent manner. In order to confront both the devils, virtually we have been left between the deep sea and devil.
Right.
In order to confront both the devils, we are to consolidate all the secular forces in the state of West Bengal. See, just listen to me. It was conceived by the left parties in consultation with us.
Right. So So I understand what you're saying, that you didn't have very much of a choice. But Abbas Siddiqui, is he proving to be problematic for you? For example, is it true that he told a local channel that he was in touch with both Narendra Modi and Mamata Banerjee and would back whoever won along with a chunk of Congress supporters, Congress votes as it were?
See, I do not know on what purpose or where, on what perspective he has said it, because I do not have any direct access to those.
But he did say it, didn't he?
To be very frank, I do not have any direct access to that cleric, because Congress party is aligning with the left parties. Try to understand. Congress party is aligning with the left parties. And the chunk of our share, the chunk of Congress party's share in the electoral P has already been secured yesterday. We have secured 92 seats to fight in the impending election on our own ticket. So we are completely free from sharing anything to anybody else.
But sir, the BJP says that you were insulted on stage at an event attended by Siddiqui, but have had to live with this insult and that this is the pitiable position to be in. Now, this is difficult, isn't it, for you? Almost embarrassing, some would say, that you're part of an alliance and yet you say that, look, they had allied with the left, you are allied to the left, and that you don't have a direct association, but it is the same broader alliance.
Very good. But I would suggest the BJP friend that they should not be so much careful upon me, because I am an individual entity. I know how to take care upon myself better. They should oil their own machine. They should oil their own machine, and they should not oil the machine of hatred, the machine of division, the machine of communal hatred, the machine of communal polarization in West Bengal. They may oil their own machine, rather than they should suggest me, they should enlighten me on what is to be done by me.
Right.
My pitiable condition could be taken care of by me. They need not to be worried about. However, if they have any worry for me, then I will suggest them that my only worry is that Bengal is going towards hell because of the nefarious politics,
okay,
because of the venomous communalism being played by the BJP party.
Okay.
So for God's sake, they should desist. They should refrain from this kind of communal propaganda in the state of West Bengal.
So there's a tweet, showing an excerpt of a speech of Mr. Siddiqui circulating, which claims to show him speaking about freedom and independence. Now, it's being portrayed as freedom and independence outside our country. Firstly, what exactly was he referring to? Is there any clarity on that?
So, no. So, actually, the fact is, he was under the impression that the entire alliance formula is not being implemented because of the intransigent attitude of the Congress party. But the reality is, till yesterday, the share of our party was not confirmed. Just last day, by the evening, our share has been confirmed.
Right.
We got our own chunk of seats just yesterday.
Right.
And till that time, when he was so impatient, he did not have any idea of the nitty-gritty that is being working out here between Congress and left party. So he might have been impressed upon that Congress party's intransigence, certainly, spoil his own prospect. That is why, out of desperation, he has been blasted out. But later, he understood the issue, and he has also offered his apology.
All right, so he's apologized now. Is that acceptable? But let me ask you this, sir. Are senior leaders of your party, we spoke about Anand Sharma, but people like Ghulam Nabi Azad as well, very senior leaders. Mr. Azad, in fact, recently praised the Prime Minister. Are they proving, in your opinion, to be a liability for the Congress, for leaders like you on the ground?
See, the fact is that those leaders, over the decades, they have enjoyed the filth power from the Congress parties. But now they think that Congress party could not be further extracted or exploited. They have already extracted their own pound of flesh. But now, they think that Congress party does not have the resources to offer them
extracted their pound of flesh,
anything which may satisfy themselves. So that is why they are castigating Congress when they should have lambasted the communal politics being played in a venomous manner by the BJP party.
All right.
So they thought it prudent to appease some parties who may offer something for their bright future, because Congress is not in a position to brighten their future as they are wishing so.
All right.
So now they think it prudent to castigate the Congress party so that their would-be bosses will be pleased.
All right. Very, very strong words, Adhir Ranjan Chaudhary, referring to senior leaders such as Ghulam Nabi Azad as having extracted their pound of flesh from the Congress party. Thank you, sir, very much for joining us at a time in which question marks are being raised about the nature of your alliance. But thank you very much for answering those direct questions. All right, so the rift within the Congress at a time when the party is trying to make some sort of a statement in Bengal with the alliance which it has formed. Joining us now to look at this, Ajoy Kumar of the Congress, Shikha Mukherjee, the senior journalist, Shatrurup Ghosh, the spokesperson of the CPM, and Chandra Bose of the BJP. We are also joined by Biswajit Deb of the Trinamool Congress. Dr. Ajoy Kumar, let me come to you first. Do you approve or does the Congress approve of the language of Adhir Ranjan Chaudhary, who said that senior leaders like Ghulam Nabi Azad, among others, have extracted their pound of flesh from the Congress? I think you've got your thing on mute. Could you just unmute? Yeah, I think.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
So, Vishnu, I wanted to make it clear that what Mr. Chaudhary said, and all of us say, I think whether Mr. Anand Sharma, we need to make sure that whatever we say has to be said in a way which is polite and decent. So I don't think, you know, the languages we use on each other, I mean, even with the BJP for that matter, needs to be much more what you call restrained in terms of their political opponents.
So as spokesperson
opponents
of the Congress, do you criticize the language used by Adhir Ranjan Chaudhary? Can you give me a direct answer, sir, on this?
Look, I definitely believe that we must be restrained in whatever we say.
And was Mr. Chaudhary restrained or not restrained?
I think he could have been a bit more restrained in terms of making any comments, individual comments. Definitely, I mean, all of us should be more careful. The provocation may be very acute because we are facing elections in across the country.
Right.
And so I understand the provocation, but whether it's the BJP versus Congress or anybody else, I think we must use the languages which are more temperate.
All right. Before I go across to my other panelists, Dr. Kumar, just one more question on this. He's basically said that these senior leaders of the Congress, who are known as part of that group of 23, are trying to look for a brighter future and sort of appeal to their would-be bosses. So, in other words, they're on their way out. How would you respond to that?
Look, the danger with all these kind of discussions, and it's unfortunate with what's happening right now, but the problem is, I think it diverts it from the critical issues which we are all facing. And it's highly
not about. Critical, sir. I mean, this is the future of your party over here.
I tell you why it's not critical.
Okay.
If you want to look at the individual interests of different political leaders, then forget that the Bengal election is a much more important issue. And the issues which are facing the state of Bengal, Assam, Tamil Nadu, much more critically important. I mean, individual career progression, individual leaders are much smaller in the larger aspect of, you know, of what which direction we are going to. So I definitely believe that getting involved in personal career goals of different individuals or saying where they are going and where they are not going is not only detrimental, it's also diverses from what is important. So where they are going, what they are doing is not, I don't think, for us to make any comment at all. And it's not, and none of us should do it. We should focus on Bengal election, Assam election, Tamil Nadu, Pondicherry,
okay,
and Kerala.
All right, let's do that with my other panelists joining in as well. Mr. Ghosh, is it not difficult for your alliance over here, given the fact that the Congress evidently still has problems with Abbas Siddiqui? I mean, just a couple of days back, I believe on the 28th of February, there was this unseemly situation when Adhir Ranjan Chaudhary was making a speech. Then some left leader said, wait, while Abbas Siddiqui came, he said that he would continue his speech and not stop. Then he said he wouldn't speak, and then finally he was persuaded to speak. So if this is the nature of your alliance, is it not problematic?
Sir, thanks for your concern about our alliance, but whatever you are saying over here, just now what you said, and what has been shown in the media for the last 48 hours, Adhir Ranjan Chaudhary, he himself has completely refuted all these gossips. What he has categorically said that while I was speaking, Abbas came on the stage, came on the dais, so people were cheering for him. So it's basic decency that I should stop, let people greet him. Then once he settles down, I resume my speech. That is what exactly had happened. And everything what went wrong with Atul Chaudhary and all are being speculated by people. I would like to tell you, see, what is going on within the Congress is not for me to comment on. And I won't do that. The Congress leaders, senior leaders of the Congress party, they are here.
Comment on within the Congress. I'm asking you about because apparently Abbas Siddiqui has also criticized the Congress. Now, if you're part of a large coalition, then that's problematic.
Thanks for pointing it out. Thanks for pointing it out. Let me clarify over here.
Yep.
Abbas Siddiqui categorically today he has issued a statement that whatever I said in the, on the rally, I am new in this entire habit of being a public speaker on a collective platform. So far, he has been speaking from his own party dais. This kind of a collective platform is something that is new for him, a new experience for him. And he has categorically said that I should not have lashed out or I should not have, said anything that would hurt any single Congress supporter in our state. So I apologize for that. He has been decent enough to say this publicly today. So about our alliance, I can tell you, we have not only forged unity amongst ourselves, we have not only forged an united front, but we are on the run-up to form a united government in the state. We are on the run-up to form present a united government to the people of the state. So that is what we are, thinking about.
Okay,
that is
all right. Let me go across to Chandra Bose. Mr. Bose, the BJP has been arguing that, in fact, the Congress allying with what you call a communal party shows a Congress double standard because when they come after you with allegations that the BJP is communal. On the other hand, if you look at the statements made by Abbas Siddiqui, there's no very clear evidence to suggest that those are communal remarks. So on what basis are you saying that?
See, first of all, the Congress party has lost its political relevance, not only in Bengal, across the country. And today, what we saw at the brigade, it was not really a Mahagathbandhan. But it was a Tamasha Gathbandhan. You see, the left front is an ideology-based party, but they are joining hands with anybody to fight the elections which they are going to face in 2011. Now, 2021. Now, the point is, today, left being an ideology-based party, how come they are now siding with the Congress, with the so-called, forum of Abbas Siddiqui, who has made certain very aggressive remarks at the brigade rally?
But now, I don't remarks, know. Communal remarks.
Yes, of course. Very communal remarks. And the other issue that we are trying to say is, now, you see, today Bharatiya Janata Party, our ideology is based on what our leader, Narendra Modi ji, has stated. Sabke saath, sabke vikas.
But Mr. Bose, when you say that Abbas Siddiqui has made communal remarks, I beg to differ. Maybe he said something else, but from the part which was being circulated on Twitter extensively as an excerpt and an example of something communal he said, in fact, that was not clearly interpreted. I mean, I speak Bengali myself, and the translation is quite clear. From the grounds of this brigade parade, to every Bengali that I love, I say, from wherever the left front places a candidate, we will bring independence in the coming days, even at the cost of the blood of the motherland. You can say this was a violent statement, but to suggest that he wants independence or something else from India, that was not said.
In the last part of the translation was actually
Mr. Ghosh, half a second. Mr. Ghosh, I'll come to you next. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Bose.
Abbas Siddiqui had mentioned Bhagidari. We have come for our share. No one is denying anybody's equal share. But the way it was put at the brigade rally basically meant that he would practically kind of fight for his share and take it away.
Share is political share.
Possibly from others.
Well, what other share are you suggesting, sir?
No, so don't you think that what he suggested was rather communal in nature?
Not on the basis of the statement that I read out.
Not at all.
But Mr. Ghosh, go ahead. Mr. Ghosh, respond to that allegation.
What you said was almost correct. And apart from the last part, he did not say that I am going to free in the cost of the blood of the motherland. What he said was that we are going to free our motherland even in lieu of our own blood. That is what is the actual transition. This is number one. Number two, see, Vishnu, we are used to seeing leaders of our country climbing on the dais, addressing people, and you're saying inshallah 5 times in the speech. Mamata Banerjee, for example, in our state, we have been seeing our chief minister crying inshallah 5 to 7 times in our 10-minute speech. We are used to see leaders like Narendra Modi and Amit Shah saying Jai Shri Ram every single sentence. Here was there was Abbas Siddiqui, who is portrayed as a religious leader, who climbed up on the dais, he spoke for 20 minutes. Not even once did he utter the word Allah. Not even once did he say that vote me in the name of Allah, in the name of religion. He asked for jobs, employment, and he categorically mentioned that I am asking for this job, the employment opportunity for each and every single citizen of West Bengal, irrespective of their caste, creed, ethnicity, everything. The problem with Mr. Bose and people like them are that they are comfortable with religious leaders who are going to ask for votes in the name of religion. But when a person, in spite of carrying his religious identity, shouts for employment, shouts for equal opportunity, they have a problem because they are not used to handling these people.
Okay,
they
Mr.
are not
used to handling. All right, okay, fair enough. Bishwajit, would you like to come in over here? If there is an extremely close election, could there be a scenario where the Trinamool Congress needs to rely on the left and the Congress and this alliance?
The question doesn't arise.
All right.
First of all, you see, with regard to this particular United Alliance or whatever it is they are talking about, on the very first day of the Brigade Rally, they have shown the disagreement. I don't want to repeat what you have said, but I fully agree to what you have said, Vishnu, that on the very first day itself in the public rally at Brigade, there was a clear disagreement, a discontent, and that was visible. Now, as far as the left is concerned, I want to make it very clear that it's a pity that they are now banking upon the mercy of a religious leader. Their vote share has come down to such an extent because in the last parliament election, we have seen that the majority of their votes have been switched over to BJP. Now, as a result of which, their vote share, the entire left vote share has come down to 7%. And now they had to bank upon a religious leader. And they are saying that they are secular. They are in fact the B team of the BJP. They are recognized by the B team of the BJP.
BJP and the Trinamool are saying the same thing on this debate, both accusing this front of being communal.
Of course, because it is categorically, it has been made categorically clear that they are relying more upon a religious leader. They are trying to regain their vote banks on the basis of a religious leader. And that is what they are doing.
Okay, Mr. Deb, one moment. I need to take a short break. I'll come back with all my other panelists. Shikha, you'll need to wait for a few more minutes. I'm going to continue this discussion in just the next few minutes. Need to take a short break, Mr. Deb. 1 second. I'll come back to all of you. Welcome back. We're looking at the problems within the Congress, infighting at two levels in the run-up to the Bengal elections, but we've been focusing extensively on politics in Bengal as well and the Congress alliance. Let me go across to Shikha Mukherjee, who's been waiting very patiently. Shikha, it's all very well for us to be discussing this over here, but on the ground, is this entire allegation of the Congress being communal in its choice of alliance partner in Bengal having some sort of political impact? Shikha, can you hear
me?
Go ahead.
I didn't get the last part of your question. Sorry.
No, I was just asking you, it's all very well for us to have this conversation over here on television, but on the ground, is there any impact on the choice of alliance partners that the Congress party is making?
Well, yes, I think so, because this is completely new. It's very unusual in West Bengal politics. It's happened for the first time in I don't know how long. And therefore, this is an unprecedented kind of alliance, which it's not necessarily the Congress which has entered into it, it's the left which has also entered into it, making this a completely different kind of relationship that we have ever seen. And it in some ways trespasses on the way in which the left and the Congress has functioned politically in the state. It kind of breaks some boundaries, it crosses some lines. But if this is what the left and the Congress have decided to do, then it's obvious that there will be a reaction, and the reaction is going to come from three places. One, it's going to come from left voters who may be very put off by this the inclusion of ISF, headed by a cleric, etc. There will be a reaction within the Congress also to exactly the same kind of accommodation. And then there will be a reaction within the BJP, which is looking at it as a opportunity of continuing to consolidate its votes amongst voters who once upon a time voted left,
right,
but then shifted to the BJP. Okay. And altogether, it in some ways creates a completely unstable equation, which will work itself out in the days to come.
Dr. Ajay Kumar, one of the points which was mentioned by Ghulam Nabi Azad, by Anand Sharma, in fact, was that the CWC hadn't cleared the alliance in Bengal. Is that correct?
Look, Vishnu, I don't think the CWC looks into every alliance. So it's very easy to, I think Mr. Anandji is wrong on that issue, because I'll give an example. Like when we had an alliance with the Jharkhand Mukti Morcha, with the Congress president and with the state in charge and everybody else. So,
but Badruddin Ajmal in Assam and your alliance in Kerala, that was cleared by the CWC, as I understand it.
No, but
if they weren't.
Look, I'm giving you. So first of all, I'm giving you a live example of what I know personally. I know that the JMM alliance didn't go to the CWC. Firstly, the other issue is that like Mr. Chaudhary said, the senior leaders, the state in charge and the Congress president and the others involved were obviously a part of that decision. So if you want to nitpick and find out reasons why this happened, why it wasn't discussed, Mr. Anand Sharma's objection is to the alliance, okay? And he's very much entitled to to have that kind of perspective. But the Congress gives adequate platform for people to speak up their minds within. I mean, and Adhir Ranjan Chaudhary has very correctly said that, Vishnu, that he's very accessible. He's been speaking to Mr. Sharma and Ghulam Nabi Azadji even in the recent.
So why didn't they pick up the phone, right?
No, and why didn't they pick up the phone? So the question again is, why couldn't they pick up the phone and even speak to Mr. Chaudhary for that matter?
Okay.
All right. More important, Vishnu, I'll tell you, the unfortunate part of this discussion is that the issues facing Bengals are much more serious. And I think that is where, you know, I think with the left partner and all of us together has to bring back the discussion, because the BJP and our colleagues in TMC, I heard the TMC, Biswajit Ji speaking on the in alliance. I mean, as long as they were speaking to TMC, they were absolutely kosher. The BJP in Nagpur forms an alliance with Muslim League, and that's absolutely kosher. So I think this kind of politics, we need to discuss what are the challenges in Bengal. And we need to focus on that. And this diversion is very unfortunate.
All right. All right. Last couple of comments. First to Mr. Deb, and then to Mr. Ghosh. Mr. Deb, 30 seconds. Go ahead. I need to wrap this up.
I could not finish. See, even in the 2019 election, the vote share of Trinamool Congress did not went down. We could retain our entire vote share. The percentage of vote share was intact. In fact, the Congress and the CPIM, they lost, and it was a complete erosion for the left. They could not secure even a single seat, a single parliament seat. The party which ruled Bengal for 34 years came down to 7% and without any single parliament seat. So you can understand the people are not supporting this unholy alliance.
All right, unholy alliance. Reply to that.
This is an unholy alliance.
Mr. Ghosh, 30 seconds to you. I need to wrap this up. Move on.
I would rather say.
He's calling you, and this part of an unholy alliance.
Yeah, I'm so flabbergasted to hear the TMC spokesperson talking about our vote share shifting to the BJP. While he was making these comments, the national spokesperson of the Trinamool Congress and an MLA, Jitendra Tiwari, joined the BJP just now in West Bengal, number one. Number two, Mr. Bose, I was listening to him very carefully. He was talking about us compromising with our ideology. Mr. Chandra Bose is the person whom, till last week, was making public comments in West Bengal saying that the idea of CAA NRC opposes Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose's idea of a united India, and he was fighting the BJP. Now, I don't know what kind of an alliance or what kind of an understanding did he strike with his party now that they are saying. Vishnu, see, in this election, there are three three segments who are fighting, three stakeholders who are fighting this election. We have the Congress Left ISF Alliance, we have the Trinamool Congress, and we have the Alumni Association of Trinamool Congress in West Bengal, whom we call the BJP. The entire BJP clan in West Bengal are ex-Trinamool Congress leaders, and now they are teaching us about making...
This war of words is going to continue now for the next several weeks. I'd like to thank you all very much for joining us. Let's see how robust this particular alliance is. I need to wrap this up over here, move on to something completely different. Thanks for joining us. Moving on, two independent firms that monitor the threat posed by international hackers have said in independent reports that India is being severely threatened by state-sponsored Chinese hackers, which are looking to make inroads into not just the power sector, but also into the pharma sector. The Serum Institute of India and Bharat Biotech, which were rolling out the COVID vaccines in India. Now, the government, while acknowledging that the threat does exist, says that there has been no breach of the power sector so far, but they haven't yet responded to the reports that two leading Indian pharma companies may also be targeted. Now, let's give you a little bit of a background on this. On the 12th of February this year, India's National Critical Information Infrastructure Protection Centre alerted India's Power Ministry of an imminent threat by Chinese state-sponsored hackers. In their letter, the Protection Centre said, and I quote, "Chinese state-sponsored threat actor group known as Red Echo is targeting the Indian power sector's regional load dispatch centres and state load dispatch centres. What's more, all IPs and domains which represented the threat have been blocked in a firewall at all control centres." Now, the clarification comes on a day in which a report by Recorded Futures said, and I quote, "Since early to 2020, Recorded Futures Insect Group observed a large increase in suspected targeted intrusion activity against Indian organisations from Chinese state-sponsored groups. At this time, the alleged link between the outage and the discovery of the unspecified malware variant remains unsubstantiated. However, this disclosure provides additional evidence suggesting the coordinated targeting of Indian load dispatch centres and that other targets identified include two Indian seaports. What's more, we assess that targeting of Indian critical infrastructure poses significant concerns over potential pre-positioning of network access to support what? Chinese strategic access. Now, the government seems to accept this assessment and says the IPs mentioned in Red Echo related advisories are matching with those given in ShadowPad incidents already informed. ShadowPad is the name of the Chinese malware. Red Echo is the name of the group. Now, all of this comes on a day when Reuters has also been reporting that another Chinese state-backed hacking group has recently targeted the IT systems of Bharat Biotech and the Serum Institute of India, the two Indian vaccine makers whose corona vaccines are now being rolled out across India. The report says that a Chinese hacking group called APT-10 has identified gaps and vulnerabilities in the IT infrastructure and supply chain software of both firms. Now, neither Serum or Bharat Biotech or the Ministry of Health have responded so far. Significantly, in a statement, the government of China has said, as a staunch defender of cybersecurity, China firmly opposes and cracks down on all forms of cyber attacks. Well, joining us now, Dr. Christopher Ahlberg, he's the CEO of Recorded Future. And the Recorded Future, of course, had come out with this attack, with this report on these attacks taking place. Now, Dr. Ahlberg, the government of India seems to suggest that thus far there's been no impact. But how strong do you believe the Chinese penetration of our infrastructure networks has been?
So thank you very much for having me. And I really love the summary that you put up front here. That was very well laid out compared to some other media outlets where maybe not so much. So that was awesome. Fantastic. We have observed this group, Red Echo, at Recorded Future all the way back to October of last year. Mm-hmm. We have notified the Indian authorities multiple times through that time period. And then obviously here, per the dates of we timestamp it as February 10th rather than February 12th, but, you know, emails transmit and when people read it and so on. So we've notified the Indian authorities earlier on. What we are observing is a set of Chinese linked infrastructure that is receiving data from a series of very specific Indian power assets, as well as these two ports, We observed that certainly from October and back through up until, you know, early February, when we sort of sent over our report to the Chinese authorities. We then kept observing their behavior beyond that. And up until as of Sunday, we still see this activity. So 2 days ago, we saw this activity coming from a few places related to what I believe is NTPC, the power company. So I'd like to think that the Indian government has been trying for sure to shut this down, but it's not all the way they are shut down. And this is tricky. These guys are good at what they do. And the Chinese, and it's at least as of 2 days ago, it was not all the way shut down.
Dr. Ahlberg, what can they do with the access that they seek?
So that's obviously the question. In our report, we lay out that, look, this is not about espionage. It's not about monetary gain. You do this sort of stuff for a couple of reasons. You might be sort of pre-positioning is sort of the word, that you're trying to establish some level of connection into these power systems. You see that from the map in the report that we've sort of,
yes,
these are spread, it's spread across India. It certainly seems pretty strategically spread out. It's not random. You always, when you do analysis, want to put the difference between random activity and non-random. This is very specific targeting, and it's also geographically non-random. Once you do this, what are you trying to do? Literally, it could be pre-positioning to be able to do really bad stuff. It might be pre-positioning to signal. Maybe this one, they wanted this to be found. I sort of, you know, probably lean more towards the pre-positioning to be able to do things down the line, but it could very well equally be in signaling to just say, look, guys, don't mess with us. We can do something bad. So you can be on either one of side of those equations. And in fact, they could have had both objectives. Get in, establish connection. And again, it's a hard connection to get rid of. The Indian authorities in some cases have been able to block it, in some cases not. And the signaling is there, and it clearly worked.
Is India countering this? Because in your report, there seemed to be some sort of an Indian response looking at other aspects. For example, Chinese military hardware, Chinese military facilities. Does India have a robust counter in terms of hacking into Chinese systems?
So, look, I have to be careful there in terms of sort of trying to talk about things that I don't know enough about. And I'll say, I do not know enough about that. The Chinese are good about what they do, both defensively and offensively. There's been a long history. You should read the Xi Jinping speeches from 2012 on about sort of protecting cyberspace.
Yes,
been looking at this. So they know what they're doing. I do not know anything about, or at least not in any meaningful way, about the offensive capabilities of the Indian military. I think you guys should be getting ready.
All right. Stay on with us, will you? Because I think the rest of this discussion will interest you. Joined by Jitin Jain, cybersecurity expert, and Brahma Chelani as well. Dr. Chelani, you know, this is a frontier we don't talk about. We only talk about tanks and missiles and the border and the line of actual control. This goes right through all of that. How prepared do you think India is?
Well, countering cyber warfare is determined by two things. The first is the mindset, including policies, strategies, and the political will. And the second thing is technologies, the tools. If a country has an overly defensive mindset, that can undermine the most powerful tools that it possesses. The fact is that India's overly defensive mindset encourages China to try and exploit Indian vulnerabilities, because there are no costs for China. India does not seek to impose costs on China for its aggressive behavior.
Right.
And cyber aggression is only one domain where India is facing Chinese aggression. As you know, India is simultaneously facing Chinese territorial aggression, riparian aggression, that is, river waters aggression. So there are multiple Chinese aggressions that are bringing Indian security under increasing pressure. And I think the only response to Chinese aggressive behavior would be for India to develop requisite deterrent capabilities. It should invest more in cybersecurity, and also develop effective cyber capabilities so that can impose costs on China.
Okay. Jitin, how qualified and how capable are organizations like CERT in India or some of the other institutions which safeguard our cyber interests?
Well, Vishnu, it's a very difficult question because if you look at the size of population, our means what we have invested in cyber, and the comparative response our agencies have delivered, I think we can say that they could have done better. They could have done more instead of, you know, just merely issuing alerts and advisories. They should have done something in preemptive measures, especially NCIIBC, which is responsible for critical infrastructure protection. So that's one response. But second thing, you know, before we go ahead, I want to bring you back on the Recorded Future report. So you see, we all know Recorded Future is one of the most credible companies in the world, which have, you know, huge experience of traffic analysis and network tracking. So there are three points in the report. One is the attribution of these groups to Chinese states, so which they have done using, you know, tactics, techniques, and you know, the procedures they have deployed, and that is how, by, you know, looking at those and then linking them to the previous activities of Chinese state-sponsored hackers, they have, with high degree of confidence, concluded that these groups are likely backed by the Chinese state. The thing what they have done is that they have done a very good timeline analysis, which maps the entire activity, I think, from the late 2019 post 370 abrogation in Kashmir to military conflict in Ladakh. And then they have established that, look, Indian power sector and the transport sector were heavily infiltrated and targeted by Chinese, and which I think Indian agencies are also confirming that attack did take, and there were evidences of exploits and malware, but they remain unactivated, or probably they did not do much harm at that point of time.
And the third point?
With these couple of findings, we both agree. Now, there is a third point. Whether the Mumbai grid collapse or the Mumbai power attack is a related incident, I think what
the government has denied it. They've acknowledged the Chinese threat, but they've said the Maharashtra, the power minister, power ministry has in fact said that there was human error which caused that.
Yes. So this is what I'm trying to say, that these may be two unrelated separate incidents, but that does not degrade the threat in question.
Not at all.
We should be equally careful that if that did not happen with this, I think something worse could have happened with what was available in the domain. So I think what is more important is two things. A, do we as a country continue to allow to Chinese investments heavily in the power and telecom sector? The dependence what we have in telecom and power sector on Chinese equipment is extremely worrying. Second, what is the responsibility of our agencies? Should they have come out with a public statement so that we don't speculate? I think it would be better that if there is little more transparency by the government, especially by NCIPC, in actually what may have happened. So we all must stop speculating.
I couldn't agree more. I just wanted to get Dr. Chilani in with the last word over here. I've got 1 minute left on this program. There's no interface, Dr. Chilani, between those who defend us from cyber attacks. There's an interface with every other arm of the government. Is that a problem? We really don't know what India is doing, if India is doing anything to protect us against a cyber threat.
First, I think we should bear in mind that security agencies have been warning successive Indian governments that reliance on Chinese power and telecom equipment would turn into a major security risk. And that's exactly what's happened, that India now faces a major security risk because of its over-dependence on Chinese power and telecom equipment. In fact, India today faces serious cyber sabotage and surveillance risks. The second thing that we have to bear in mind is that these attacks that are happening in a systematic manner. For example, just 9 months ago, in a five-day period in June, the Maharashtra Cyber Department recorded more than 40,000 cyber attack attempts, most of them which could be traced to the Chengdu region of China.
Right.
And all these attacks attempted to penetrate critical infrastructure, not just the power sector, but also the banking sector, for example. So there is a pattern that has emerged, a systematic attempt to penetrate critical infrastructure in India. And to make India aware of India's vulnerabilities.
No, I need to wrap this up, but I take your point, Dr. Chilani, that This has been going on for too long. We know what exactly the problem is, where exactly it's coming from. The question is, are we doing enough? And perhaps we need to know, for starters, that we are doing enough. That remains a huge issue. Jitin, I know you want to jump in. I'm going to have to say no. Yes, go ahead.
I think this trusted telecom equipment and the emergency telecom directive from the cabinet a couple of months back could not have come at a better time. It is now time to implement it with full force so that we only import trusted equipment and ban everything that comes from hostile nations like China.
All right. So let's see if that does take place. It's supposed to. Thank you all very much, Dr. Alberg. Good to have you on the program. We'll take a short break. More coming back.